You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good evening, folks. Welcome once again to another Facebook Live on Lee's Live with myself, Baron Cross, and Joe Donoghue. Recording this one a few hundred yards from where we recorded the last one in Merseyside, which doesn't feel too long ago. And as Joe kindly reminded me on the walkover, that's 9 goals without reply on Merseyside. So a happy hunting ground. But to be honest, Joe, it doesn't look like there's many happy hunting grounds at the moment. The questions are mounting. I think the aspect that softens the blow tonight is Liverpool, as it was at Man City. We are talking about a title challenge here, one of the best club sides in the world. So, of course, that is the caveat that the optimists will take with them tonight. But, as Bielsa said himself tonight, on a wider basis now, the questions are there and they're not being answered as they were last season. Quite nicely put to him in the press conference tonight. Towards the end of last season, they were unbeaten at home.
Yeah.
To the best sides in the league. They were shutting them out. There were clean sheets aplenty. That is not the case at all at the moment. And there were quite worrying signs tonight. Again, it was Liverpool, but very, very little there to sort of take home with you.
I think the game could have finished 3-0 in the way that it was. You know, that Leeds could
they
have...
They were strong in the second half, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, Leeds could have seen out the 3-0, strike that one off as a day at the office at Anfield.
Look after the goal difference.
Exactly, because at the end of the season it might come to be very important. But those last 15 minutes or so were concerning because, three goals. I mean, the last one, Van Dijk's header, it's just a free header. I mean, it's the last touch of the game, last kick of the game. And you just feel as though people just switched off. And it's disappointing because, you want to see people fighting until the last whistle. But, I mean, as Bielsa said, his first answer in the press conference was, the way that I've wanted the team to play has not been possible. It just hasn't manifested. Mm. And it was a real admission, I think, that that things aren't working. Obviously, he stood by and he's defended his style of play. He said that it's changing that. He doesn't feel though that's going to change anything. Mm. I'm inclined to sit on the fence with that one because you try and change the way a team that has been playing like this for 3 years.
Too late now, isn't it?
It's too late, exactly.
You can't start putting 11 men behind the ball.
Exactly. But I mean, it does leave you asking the question of what is the alternative? How do you get yourself out of this rut? Because it is a rut.
They feasibly played in the same way and lost 4-3 because of a dodgy penalty late on from Rodrigo in September 2020. And tonight, the gulf in what has changed since then is summed up in that scoreline tonight. I think Liverpool probably were caught a little bit cold on that opening day of last season. Whereas tonight they are very much purring and they could smell blood in the title race, which is another issue altogether. It doesn't feel like there's a lot to be gained from analysing tonight. I think what we can say is that they started well, Leeds.
Yeah.
I think the opening 10-15 minutes, basically up until the first penalty, Leeds were fairly impressive when you consider who they were playing against. I think Jurgen Klopp did admit himself in his press conference that first 15 minutes Liverpool needed to kind of suss out what Leeds were about because it is such a unique proposition. But once they did do that, they were thoroughly in control, which I don't think I would disagree with too much. But it just comes down to that penalty. I mean, what a way to concede and what a way... And heads did drop a little bit after that goal.
It did. I mean, we were saying on the walk back to the car, The beginning of that game, Leeds were fast to the second balls. They were really good with the loose balls. Mm. The first 10-15 minutes, I thought Forshaw, Click and Rodrigo started well.
Yeah.
But then after that, it seemed as though the heads dropped and Salah converts the penalty. It's obviously unfortunate. It's the correct decision. His arms raised as the cross comes in and it strikes it. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes sometimes. But it did seem as though they weren't able to string together those passing moves anymore. And between minute 25 and minute 45, it felt as though Leeds didn't even get a touch in Liverpool's half. And you thought, what has changed so drastically from that first 10-15? It was obviously it was the goal, but that shouldn't have such a huge impact on the way that the team was playing.
I think the confidence is so fragile, isn't it? I think
the
players are not stupid. They're aware of the narrative. They're aware of what they were walking into tonight, and as confident as they would have been from that opening 15 minutes. When you concede in the way they do, it just immediately feels like, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. You know, you've put all that effort in, you've shown yourself, you've matched them.
Yeah.
And then something as frustrating as a handball, basically, subconsciously, it feels like it's undone all your hard work. And it just feels like the world's against you. And when a team like a Liverpool's quality comes at you in the way they did, they just pull Leeds apart. And ultimately, it does boil down to the system. And Leeds go man for man. It's worked 85-90% of the time under Bielsa, but in crucial games this season it really, really hasn't. And in those matches where you look to go man for man against sides as good as Manchester City and Liverpool on their own turf, there's only going to be one winner. It just, you cannot expect those players to go one for one and win those individual battles when virtually every player in Liverpool's side is one of, if not the best player in the world in that position. I mean, they are but they are right up there, and it's just the gulf in class is too big. You need to be more than the sum of your parts, and when you're going man for man, you are not allowing yourself to be greater than the sum of your parts, because you're not combining the sum of your parts. You're going one for one, and it's an individual battle all across the pitch. And as I'm sure Joe can talk about next, Joel Matip's goal just kind of sums that up, really. And another perennial problem under Bielsa, and lacking answers really in the press conference again. Bielsa basically just described the problem we're aware of it, and all he could say was, I've not been able to solve that yet. Well, what is the solution? Because it's not just Dan James. Bamford struggled to do it as well. That they have a freeze, you split the centre backs, you run past the striker who, bless him, can only press as much as you can. Dan James basically ran between the centre backs all night tonight and got near neither of them. And quite you'd mentioned it yourself, but then Klopp actually mentioned it happened at Elland Road.
It did, yeah. I mean, it was one of the things that I was worried about when I saw Matip in the 11, because I thought what he's going to do is he's going to see that space in front of the Liverpool defence and just drive with
the
ball. And he did.
Lindelof did it on Sunday.
Yeah, Lindelof did it on Sunday. Matip did it tonight. Rudiger did it for Chelsea.
Ben
White did it for Arsenal. You know, there are multiple just completely off the cuff examples.
Seems so easy
of it working. And Bielsa's response was sort of, he spoke a little bit tactically and sort of was talking about the heights of the wingers, and we know that Bielsa sees the game in a little bit of a different way, sort of in as his players in lines. And once Matip goes through the forward line, you know, he's beyond that. He's now looking at the midfield line, and then he was talking about how a player can drive to get to the free man, which is obviously the centre back who's not marking.
Yeah,
and he made reference to that, and I thought, I was listening to it thinking, well, does he mean that is the solution, or that can't be the solution?
That's what I thought.
You know, it can't be right that a centre back can stroll unabated into the Leeds half, and it should be the responsibility of the free man to combat him. Because ultimately, if he beats the free man, which
you're in on goal,
you've got the momentum because you have the ball and you're driving forward. You're in on goal, as you say, and
that's what it sounded like he was saying. I've not been able to find a solution higher up the pitch, but ultimately the safety net is he runs all the way through and ultimately finds our free centre-back, and it's basically a 50-50 between which centre-back wins, and that's how we deal with it.
But what did he do tonight?
Well, he passed it to Salah and then got past the centre-back.
Yeah, he circumvented it by passing around, passing to Salah, carried his run.
He virtually walked it in from the halfway line.
Yeah.
That's how easy it was.
And Salah plays the ball back in, and Matip, you know, to his credit for a centre-half, lifts it quite deftly over Melier.
Yeah, it was decent.
It was something which, as soon as I saw it happening, I saw him coming up with the ball, I thought, he's going to pass that right, and then Trent Alexander-Arnold's going to come in so that he occupies the left back, the Harrison. So then Matip's going to have room in front to just receive the ball again. And it was textbook. And I thought, well, how do you solve that?
Yeah, I think tonight was a night where they just looked ragged. They just looked a yard off it all over the pitch. I think, I mean, if I'm just sort of thinking off the top of my head, I think Dallas looked a bit better in the middle of the park second half.
I was quite pleased.
I mean, that was quite a refreshing sight because it's been so long since he's been released into that position. And I think Bielsa needs to do whatever he can elsewhere in the pitch to make sure that happens on Saturday. I think he brought a lot more bite and energy and drive to the middle of the pitch. And I just want to see that change of just a different face in there, because it's not been working for weeks now. I mean, in a moment, Joe can maybe run over the goals conceded stats because it's not pretty at all. And is the story of not only the whole season, but the very, very recent past. So, Dallas is one thing that comes to mind. Rafinha, I mean, we're talking about heads dropping. I mean, the moment the ball struck Dallas's arm, he hit his own legs in frustration, but then he looked at Rafinha. Rodrigo went over to Rafinha and asked him questions. Yeah. And you look at him and thinking, Dallas, I mean, I'm assuming, we've not heard from Dallas, but my assumption is he's thinking, I'm so frustrated that's happened, but I should not have been put in a position where I'm trying to look after Luis Diaz, one of the up-and-coming forwards of Europe, and Andy Robertson, one of the best left-backs in the world. I shouldn't be in a position where I'm having to sort of deal with both and do neither job successfully because Rafinha's ambling back at halfway as Robertson's bearing down on the penalty box. Another poor game. He got my lowest rating tonight. Just another poor game. His attacking play at the moment is not compensating for his lack of work off the ball. Bielsa said that he felt he defended better in the second half. Again, we haven't had the rationale for why he was dropped against Man United, but when you see what happened tonight, you can just look at it and think, you know, when your attacking play is not making up for it, I can see why you need to be pulled out of the firing line and the right back. When goals are leaking the way they are, he has to look at those problems and he has to think, okay, we need to batten down the hatches down the flank. Rafinha is not tracking the left back enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're right in saying that. I mean, the goal stats, I'm glad that you've left me to drop this bombshell, but I mean,
well, most people have probably seen it by now, anyway.
26 goals conceded in Leeds' last 7 away games, which is a staggering total. Obviously playing against some difficult sides, but still, they're really stark. And now, as it stands, have conceded the most goals in the Premier League so far this season with 56.
You know, that's worse than anybody, is it?
Yeah, more than Norwich, yeah. So it's a case of, well, you know, it's very easy to attach, well, this is the worst defence. It's just the most goals conceded.
Yeah.
But it is a stark reality of the situation. And it's two more than was conceded in the entirety of last season.
The entirety. I mean, that's what gets me.
13 games to play. 13 games remaining now. I think you've got to look ahead and think, well, which games can you potentially
get? City still got to come to Elland Road as well?
Yeah, City at the end of April are coming to Elland Road.
Just what you want.
So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Obviously, with other results maybe not going Leeds' way tonight and in recent weeks as well, that's kind of exacerbated the issue.
At least Watford lost tonight. I mean, that's the only thing I've taken from it. Yeah. Watford lost,
and they looked as though they were kind of out on their feet. I mean, conceding 4 to Palace. I mean, yeah. Palace,
they were at home as well, were they? Watford?
They might have been.
I think Watford were at home. They just looked a yard off it across the pitch tonight. You know, Bielsa is saying that they can't sustain what he wants them to do. He doesn't really have an explanation for that. He said he's not doubting their effort. He thinks the dedication is there. But ultimately, it comes down to the system. And they're basically trying to play the way he wants them to play. And at the moment, it's just not happening. They just can't seem to make it happen. So we look ahead. I mean, Spurs have lost at Burnley tonight. You can look at that in either way. You can either say, you know, they're a poor side that can be beaten. If Burnley can beat them, Leeds can beat them. Or you can say they're going to respond and they're going to bring hell down upon Elland Road and Antonio Conte is going to be on a warpath. But yeah, at least there's a chink of light with that if you want there to be. But more and more now, I think tonight, especially once the game had gone tonight, you're already looking ahead to the fixtures. And it's becoming more and more clear now that double header, especially... Villa and Norwich within the space of 3 days, both at Elland Road. I mean, they are huge, huge games. And Leeds, I mean, the table may get worse before it gets better. I mean, it still may get worse if Spurs win on Saturday. And then, I mean, Leicester City, we know on paper, can be a top five side, but clearly they have shown mid-table fragility this year. I mean, I'm not writing that one off at all. That can be done at the King Power, as we saw last season. But it is those games beyond that really stand out. And more than ever, just the freshness of seeing Liam Cooper, Calvin Phillips and Patrick Bamford. I'm not saying they're going to solve the problems because, as we know, they are going to be so rusty. I mean, we know that when they are fully fit and firing, they're fantastic. But it's going to take them time.
It's been 3 months.
To get up and running. They've been out for so long. Yeah. So we have to be patient with them. But I just think it just needs a bit of freshness in there now. They just look bereft of everything tonight. They were trying their best, but they couldn't get near Liverpool.
which is a shame because it's a shadow of the same players who were at this stage last season really coming into their own,
getting better.
They were getting better. They were romping to it. You know, they were denying all those. You know, the oh well, what about Bielsa's teams towards the end of season? You know, they were refuting all of those claims. And you know, it's you're looking at it this season, you're thinking what's happened? Obviously injuries. You know, that's completely. You know, that's negatively affected the entire season. But there comes a point where, you know, these are Premier League football players and you have to expect more, you have to want more from players like Rafinha. You know, he's shown this season what he's capable of. Tonight he did not show that. You know, Rodrigo, Spanish international, again, yeah. someone that you're constantly asking a little bit more from.
Yeah.
I just think there were individual moments where you just thought, that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not good enough for us in the press box, then it certainly isn't good enough for Bielsa.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's tough to know what else to reflect on, really. The goals are the goals. I mean, there's not really much use or benefit. I'm sure none of you really want to kind of talk about conceding another six goals. Melier, I mean, distribution was off tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's without blame this season. I know he's had a generally good season, but more and more I'm thinking now, I mean, you look at the numbers maybe closer than I do, but I did come across some numbers the other day, and his, I think it's called, is it called expected goals prevented?
It's like
the quality of the saves you make.
Yeah,
you
know, so essentially the reverse of what expected goals.
And last season it was really good, and this year it was actually one of the worst.
Yes,
and he should actually be saving more than he is.
There is a caveat to that in that the way that Leeds play, it does open you up to quite high value shots.
Yes.
So it makes it look as though the goalkeeper's maybe performing worse. But
I see.
It also doesn't reflect greatly on him. Mm. I mean, tonight he made 8 saves and still conceded 6 goals.
Yeah, that's frightening.
You know, 14 shots on target. I know it's Liverpool, but still.
For sure, I think, as we say, he was a part of that promising start. I'm pleased he was in the deeper role. I mean, if we're looking at a rough team for Saturday, I mean, I've been told that Llorente's not serious and has got every chance of playing on Saturday, so I would not be surprised if he comes back into the side, given he's one of Bielsa's favourites. And that then hopefully gives us what we want with Dallas. I mean, that would then restore Luke Ayling to right back. I think Firpo's fine to stay in now. I think he came through tonight okay. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, I think.
Yeah.
I think sharpened up a little bit second half. First half, we were getting some Lamptey vibes and thinking, you know, he could get a red before half time here, but managed to keep his nose clean. Salah was actually quite quiet second half, wasn't he? By his high standards.
Yeah. First half, not so quiet though.
Yeah, not so quiet. I mean, 2 penalties. I mean, if they didn't score from open play, if they want to take anything from tonight. So if Llorente comes back in, I think Forshaw stays where he is. You get Dallas into the middle with Clichy, Rodrigo. I mean, there's pros and cons to both. I would not be too averse to seeing Rodrigo back in attack.
I was going to say, I prefer Click with Dallas.
Yeah, Click with Dallas. I'm fine with
Dallas,
that. I'm fine with that. And then I think you have to persist with Rafinha. I mean, I'm not at the stage now where we excommunicate him and stick him on the bench, but he is still capable of. I mean, even tonight he did at least get a shot on target, I remember, from cutting it off the right, and hopefully against a more lacklustre Spurs side back at Elland Road.
Get more of those.
We've got to see that fight from him. We've got to see, this is the sort of fight that he's come here for. This is what he wants, is to prove people wrong. So I'd stick with him. And then I suppose it's down to, you pick two from James, Harrison and Rodrigo.
Yeah.
You pick two from those three. I don't really mind which two you pick, to be honest.
Well, Spurs obviously go with a back three, so that'll make it interesting.
Yes.
Well. Because I think Dan James against, you know, 3 central defenders will make it quite difficult for him.
Has he had Kulusevski in a front three? So Leeds will stay in a.
Please tell me
Leeds are going to stay in a pack four. If Conte's got anything about him, he'll play Son and Kane as a front two, and then just watch havoc rain down upon Leeds. I mean, that's what I would do if I was Conte.
If he's still there, that is, after his comments this evening.
Yeah, Joe was saying that apparently he's on the verge of throwing the towel in after having one of the performances of the season.
Yeah, well, he was saying that the club need to assess his performance in his post-match interviews after they've lost to Burnley. So
it's just a post-match overreaction.
It's very emotional. I think that's the takeaway that I have from that. But, I mean, that would really throw a spanner in the works for Saturday if Spurs were coming with a caretaker boss. Because
Tim Sherwood? Get Tim Sherwood in?
I'm sure he could bring the gilet back.
So on a wider level, on a macro level, looking ahead at the season, you know, Joe and I aren't completely forlorn. Leeds have still got a very, very good chance of staying up, but it is tightening up. We can't avoid that fact. Burnley have just won two games to nil, and they weren't games we expected them to win. They are a coming force. Newcastle, we know, I've got very, very few concerns about Newcastle now with the players they've got and the momentum they're building. Watford and Norwich are the big ones, and I mean, more than ever, we're looking at Brentford now and hoping that they just keep dropping down.
Yeah.
And Everton, of course, aren't out of the woods yet either. I mean, you know, big, big questions for them. I mean, from you know, neither of us watched the 90-minute performance at Southampton, but from what I've read,
yeah,
Everton were appalling at Southampton and quite worrying, really, how bad they look. So there's still a lot to fight for, so don't get too disheartened. I mean, it is going to be tough to take. Like I say, try and comfort yourself with the fact it is Liverpool. Saturday, there are reasons we can find, if we want them, to believe that Spurs are gettable on Saturday. And then, as we say, Leicester, very, very fragile, inconsistent side at the King Power. You know, Leeds went
playing
there
in Europe.
Exactly, went there and did Leicester quite convincingly. Who knows by then whether they can roll Phillips out. I think of the three, Phillips is the one that reacts fastest and recovers fastest. And through reportings from Thorpe Arch, he's the one that's always been at the front of the queue and always been the one that was sort of most ambitious about beating that March target. But Bielsa, I think, may well just be cautious with that one, because they really cannot risk bringing any of them back and seeing them injured again, as we've seen with Bamford. So hopefully that will be a little boost for Leicester. And then, as I say, Villa, Norwich, big games. And is there another one after Norwich? Is it Wolves after Norwich?
Or
is
Wolves it, are in that in that.
It's like Friday night.
Friday night. It's like the 18th of March, I think.
Which I think is, yeah, that's 6 days after, 7 days. Yeah, 6 days after Norwich, because Norwich is the Norwich is the Sunday now, isn't it?
It's
five days after. Yeah. Sorry. So, and yeah, I mean, Wolves aren't easy at all, are they? But I think at the risk of going on for another 20 minutes, we'll wrap it up there, 20 past 11. Thank you for joining. Numbers on this are brilliant.
Yeah,
hopefully it's been cathartic in some way and you're not alone in feeling the way you feel. And hopefully we try to put a bit of flesh on the bones for you and give you some reasons for optimism in the coming weeks. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's only so much talking we can do. The players have got to go out there and do it. Bielsa was very, very earnest in his press conference. There was no backbiting with the journalists. He seemed quite, you know, accepting of what had happened tonight and completely understood that things need to improve.
Yeah.
And at this stage, there is nothing to gain in either changing the head coach or changing the system. You know, the club have made their bed. They've got to line it. I refuse to believe anybody can get more out of that group of players than Bielsa.
Exactly.
He knows them better than anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody else can come in here and do better with that group of players.
They know that as well.
Yeah.
They know that as well. And it, I mean, the narrative completely shifts. If Saturday is 3 points, a surprise win against Spurs,
massive.
And Calvin Phillips is on the verge of a return.
Yeah.
You know, the same as Cooper, same as Bamford. You know, the narrative completely shifts. And then all of the teams that are in sort of the bottom seven are looking at Leeds going, oh, well, they've got all their key players back and they've got a bounce. You know, it's so different. So different.
Chins up. We'll see you on Saturday. It's lunchtime kickoff at Elland Road. So we'll see you Saturday afternoon.